For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Well, first, Kristen, we've been working on this from day one, engaged with different partners in the region, sending clear messages about the need to immediately and unconditionally release all of the hostages. And it was gratifying to see that Judith and Natalie Ronan were released yesterday. I had a chance to speak to them as well. They were they sounded strong of mind, strong of spirit, but there remain many others. And we're hopeful that more released, but the bottom line is this: they need to be released.
Well, at least he said something about it. That's Anthony Blinken. At least he did. You know, Joe Biden's on a beach vacation. Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
Did you know he's still on his beach vacation?
What?
Oh, you didn't know?
Today?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still at the beach. I don't think he's come back yet.
Yeah.
It gives you all the confidence in the world, you know, the leader of the free world. You got America. They can't even tell you how many Americans actually are being held hostage. They just know that, just because of what's been said by families, etc., that there are some, but they don't know. And in the meantime, Biden's in Delaware on his beach vacation. He's, you know, he needs a break. Welcome to the show. It's Monday. He needs a break. We need a break from this commander in chief, is what we need, to be quite honest about it. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. And as we get started on this insane, as always, insane, very super fun Monday. And we've got all the latest with this. Like, we've got the updates on the terrorists. Their plans were released the day that they kickstarted the attack, that they went in and actually invaded a number of different communities. They've released those plans. We're gonna talk about some of it because they're really harsh. And obviously, I'm not going to show any of the video on it just because it's just too much. But they had released their plans. That's all out there for everybody, for everyone to see. You know, for the people who denied that there were babies that were burned and beheaded and people who were killed and all this other stuff, and they wanted to act like it was all just, what, I don't know, it's Israeli propaganda. I mean, if you wanted to know how Goebbels' propaganda worked so well in the days of the Nazis, just look at some of the people who were denying this stuff here with everything that we knew and everything that you could see. So we'll get into all of that. Raw footage was released, and Biden apparently has urged Israel to delay its ground invasion, which I read this. The argument that the administration is making is that they want to allow more time for Hamas hostages to be freed. But I also think that it allows more time for bombs to be laid, for ambushes to be set up, etc. And I don't know why the administration is weighing in on that. Again, so much of this is people just need to allow Israel to do what Israel does. So what Israel needs to do to finish this. So we're gonna dive into some of that. We have more on the hospital stuff. Now the BBC states what we all knew about a week ago, and that yes, it did look like, I mean, unequivocally, that it was Hamas's own rocket. I'm so glad that they are, you know, joining the rest of the world and coming into this. So we're gonna dive into all of this. And then one of the other things that I'm gonna touch on later in the show is the difference between the freedom-loving phrase, e pluribus unum, and the Marxist mantra, diversity is strength. We're going to talk about the difference between those two in an important discussion that some people on the right are very confused about, and everyone on the left is. So as we dive into this, the Biden administration does not know the status of 10. There's 10 missing Americans. There are more hostages. They are completely unaware. They have no idea. But at the same time, though, they're going to tell you exactly how the money that they would like to send over to Hamas is going to be. Oh, I'm sorry, to Gaza and West Bank. They know exactly how that's going to be spent, but they can't tell you the status of these unaccounted for Americans who disappeared, who are just completely, they're missing after this terrorist attack from the Gaza Strip. That's according to Blinken. You heard some of that soundbite. That was from NBC's Meet the Press. And he was asked if he thinks they're being held hostage. And he says, you know, we don't know. We just don't know. We literally don't know anything. He doesn't know. They know nothing. 10 Americans remain unaccounted for. They said roughly there were about amongst the 200 hostages still being held. Two of them were released, and that's the mother and daughter. And Hamas even said when they released them that we only did this to shut up the United States because they kept saying that we're terrorists. Look, by the way, out of all the people that we killed and raped, we're going to release these two. So what, that makes them not terrorists raping baby murderers? I don't know. I'm just wondering. They're not terrorists because they released two, just two. Good grief. Blinken also declined to state whether or not he believes the U.S. wants Israel to hold off, except that's what's been reported by multiple outlets. So when he was asked about that, he said he wasn't entirely he didn't actually get into it. He didn't. He kind of sidestepped the question. But that's what's being reported, is that They would like for Israel to hold off until more hostages can be freed. You know, I was thinking about this, though, over the weekend, because the people that are going to be freeing those hostages, it's the photo of the spec ops team that the White House put out there with their faces, which I just thought, I mean, you're going after people over the way that they hold classified documentation, but there's not going to be any accountability for a single member of this administration for doxing a spec ops team as they're literally on the ground in Gaza kicking in doors. I just want to say that again for the drive-bys who read in pictures. You go after and you will charge people, including former presidents who can declassify stuff, for classified information, for the possession or the accusation of distribution of that information, but yet there's no accountability at all whatsoever for the people who legit send out and distribute and dox a spec ops team that's door kicking in Gaza right now to get hostages. You kidding me? I was just thinking about that as I was listening to Blinken's sound bites and spin on this. He says that they want to make sure that the hostages, you know, we want to make sure that that the hostages are freed, that we're able to get those. That's his thing. They have no idea, though. They have no idea. He says, we're talking to, I guess this is IDF, he says them, on a regular basis about what they're doing, how they do it. It's vitally important, every measure to be taken to protect civilians, humanitarian assistance, blah, 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 people who are caught in the crowd. You know what? And I'm going to explain this more. Humanitarian assistance is below my list of priorities on which freeing hostages ranks supreme. That's the nature of the game. You've got to, everybody acts like people are so weird with their language. And I get, have you seen everyone tripping over their words and they're trying to be very, very careful? Oh, well, let's separate Gazans from Hamas. Let's separate Gazans from Hamas. We have to be very careful. Can we just discuss 1 minute the issue of choice? Can we have a quick discussion on the issue of choice? Back in 2005, first off, Israel unilaterally left Gaza. They left Gaza. They picked up stakes and moved out. That was entirely left to an entity of people, mostly Jordanians, who created for themselves a brand new ethnicity called Palestinian, and created for themselves a brand new country that's never existed before called Palestine, which still doesn't exist now, but I digress, and left that to them in 2005. All the infrastructure, everything, water treatment, everything left there. Given to them for free, you might say. And they were Israel was expected to provide them all this stuff for free. Give them water for free, like treat it as a giant welfare state. That's what Hamas and ruling authorities, in fact, before Hamas won elections, that's what the ruling authority at the time said, even Yasser Arafat, who is a big giant grifter and his worm food. So in 2006, they had elections. And you have the two major, I don't want to say parties because they're the same side of the evil coin, or two different sides of the evil coin, Fatah and Hamas. And Hamas ended up winning over half of the seats on the Legislative Council. This was in 2006. They won over half of the seats in the Legislative Council. Now, this is very, very important. Because if people didn't have a choice, I would imagine that it would have been Fatah that people would have picked. Because Fatah wanted to keep control. In fact, the chair of Fatah is still head of the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority, which is the ruling entity in West Bank of the two Palestinian, or the two Gaza and West Bank territories, or Gaza and West Bank of those two territories. Abbas is chair of Fatah. They're the ranking group in the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority, and they're the ones who rule in West Bank. I would have imagined if people did not have a choice that Fatah would have been the party that stayed. They would have been the party. There would not have been any kind of election. It would have been that. But there was an election, and Hamas ended up winning over half of the seats of the Legislative Council there. Now, that's important to know. Because you have, you know, these parties, and Fatah, they're having some issues by themselves. There have been, I mean, right now they've had fragmentation, and that's a whole other story. But he has he's wanted to remain be in control for quite a long time. Now, as Fatah currently fragments, Hamas has been getting a lot. I mean, they've had a lot of support. Their victory, their election. I can't reemphasize how important this is. I mean, they won over half the seats in the Legislative Council. That was 76 of the 132 seats that were up. Now, they were going to have elections again in 2021, but Abbas, quote unquote, postponed them. Why did he postpone them? He postponed them because all of the surveys at the time showed, and what they understood from hearing on the ground, show that Hamas was about to win landslide victories. Abbas was terrified, and he had right to be concerned. Not that he's innocent here, by the way. I mean, come on, they're all the same. Fatah, Hamas, I mean, they all support terrorism. But he was concerned. He was more worried about losing control. And all of the polls indicated a major landslide victory for Hamas. Hamas is going to win authority everywhere, not just in Gaza, but in West Bank. So he postponed the elections. And they were trying to tell Abbas to not postpone elections, etc. The reason they ended up getting into conflict is because of that. It was a power struggle. So this is how this all unfolded. The reason I say that, you know, we have to have a conversation about choice is because you also have to acknowledge that there were a lot of people in the street in Gaza saying that they're not going to leave and showing support for Hamas. Now, for the stupid people who promote shallow thinking in American discourse and make us all dumber as a result, they'll argue that noting this means that you are simultaneously arguing or trying to justify unnecessary violence against civilians in Gaza. And that's what nobody's doing. These are two separate issues. But let's not act like Hamas wasn't chosen, and let's not act like they did not enjoy, maybe still do, who knows, widespread support. Enough for a landslide victory and enough for them to have taken in the last elections over half the seats of their Legislative Council. So stop allowing people to control your language. Because this is nonsense. And stop allowing it because they want to conflate the two and act like Hamas and Gaza is this. They they were widely supported. Hi, folks. This is Dana Lash for the Headrest Safe, a pioneering innovation in automotive security. The Headrest Safe company embarked on this journey in 2022, revolutionizing vehicle safety. It all started with a father's concern after the birth of his daughter and the dissatisfaction with his own truck's gun box, which ignited the creation of the Headrest Safe. But it's not just for firearms. It provides invisible security for all of your valuables. The Headrest Safe is strategically placed on the passenger side headrest facing the driver. And accessing your items is a breeze, with a magnetic door opening in just 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. Seamless integration into your vehicle's interior is remarkable. I've witnessed it myself, and it blends in seamlessly. The Headrest Safe caters to anyone seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Experience this innovation at headrestsafe.com and use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's headrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables and vehicles with a 100% money back guarantee.
56% of adults feel behind on retirement. Are you one of them? People are living longer, which means people need more saved up. Make sure to not fall trapped to a guide that tells you when you should retire, because everyone's situation is different. Are you going to have to work longer? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I read this story over the weekend and I thought about it. It makes a lot of sense. Apparently, airlines use this thing called calculated misery to make flying as unpleasant as possible for people who don't want to pay for extras like baggage and boarding, things that were once free that are now no longer free. I mean, this is, they said that it was dubbed by Time Wu for The New Yorker. It's an effort by airlines to force customers to pay for these extra services. And they said in 2022, 8 airlines made, like, for instance, $4.2 billion in revenue on seating alone. On baggage fees alone, they raked in $5.3 billion. So the psychology behind it is they make it as unpleasant as possible for you if you want to... if you don't want to pay for things like, you know, your baggage or an extra board, just basic stuff that used to be free and customary as part of boarding or flying. And now it's going to cost you. That to me is just wild. No one cares about the Taylor Swift Chiefs thing. I don't care. I can think of a number of things that I'd rather do, including being set on fire, than having anything to do with this story. And I think so much of it is staged and it looks so fake. And other chicks out there know, like, you can spot fake chicks. And I just feel like she's such a fake chick. Fake-ass chick. Car owners are falling behind on payments at the highest rate on record because everybody's broke. But hey, you know what? Joe Biden's going to make you buy an EV and give all that money to China, right? Because you got to have your EV. It's very important that you do things that make the greenies feel good about their virtue signaling. Parents want to track phones and monitor their teenagers' moves. This is not new. There's a new study that was taken where it says more and more, well, they feel safer now they have the apps to do it. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
A question from anyone else?
How many more killings is enough for you? Is it 1,000 more? 2,000 more, 3,000 more? How many more Palestinians would make you happy if they die? Will you be fine If all
Why do you
of the
apologize
people of Gaza
for terrorists, terrorists?
Would that make you happy?
Ellen Omar acts like a terrorist.
That makes you proud?
All those broads up there, they act like terrorists. I mean, I would not. I mean, what a disgraceful ab. I mean, seriously, how disgraceful are you? Maybe get your affairs in order, like your marriage to your brother, before you sit here and stand for terrorists and baby killing in front of, you know, the Capitol that many of us here respect more apparently than you do, to stand in front of it and do that. That's ridiculous. Shame on her. That's just disgusting. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast, stream the radio program, watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. I'm trying to keep my wits about me, but I'm going to tell you, there is no gray area for me with us. Absolutely none. And to see a garbage meat sack like Ilhan Omar, and that's, I, you know what, respect for elected office runs both ways. For the person that occupies it, they have to show more, you got to show more respect for the voters than we got to show for you. Because, see, you work for us. You are at our beck and call. You exist there in that seat by the authority of our consent. And to get up there and apologize for terrorists. I mean, notice she tries to put that on, and that's what terrorists usually do. They try to put it back on the people asking the question, well, how many more deaths are acceptable to you? That's a question you need to ask Hamas, Ilhan. That's a question you need to ask them. How many more deaths are acceptable to Hamas? Because Hamas started this. How many more deaths are acceptable to you? Like, how many more people have to die before you stop defending a terrorist group that burned babies alive? Did you like seeing their burned baby bodies, Ilhan? Is that, did you enjoy that? I feel like it's safe to ask that question, because that's absolutely, it's just asinine, her standing up there and saying the words that she did. How many more deaths are acceptable to Hamas? That's a question you have to ask. How many more dead Jews is it worth it? Is worth it for you, Ilhan Omar and Ariana Pressley and all of these other terrorist defenders that get up there in front of the Capitol lecturing American citizens on who find it absolutely abhorrent what they're hearing? I mean, I'm trying to watch my words here, but I feel like I shouldn't have to when we sit here and talk about actual terrorists and Nazi apologists. I feel like there aren't any words harsh enough. I feel like there's, if you're not enraged, then what are you saving it for? It's so disgraceful. The question is about, I mean, because they were asked, well, doesn't Israel have a right to defend itself? And that made her so angry. How many dead babies is worth it for her? This is a question for Hamas. Hamas started this. I'm getting really tired of seeing photos of Hamas sympathizers walking out with, where are they getting all of these bodies at, of children? Like in the parking lot, like we're supposed to believe there were 500 people in that hospital parking lot in the middle of the night when they were trying to see that it wasn't a Hamas rocket. The photos that I see that are shared from Hamas's propaganda channels, I see them out there. You wouldn't have those dead bodies if Hamas, A, let people leave the strip, and B, because we know that there were a significant number that didn't want to, because they were out in the street protesting that they didn't want to, that they should have left. I mean, Israel was warning everyone. Hamas thinks that war is they get to attack everyone and no one can respond. And then if you respond, then suddenly they're the victim. I do not subscribe to that drunk ass line of thinking, because that's what it is. That's what they practice. Audio soundbite 3. Listen to this. This is just asinine. This is AOC.
I mean, I will say that I have long found the ignoring and sidelining of Palestinians in the U.S. House of Representatives, the humanity of Palestinian populations in the 5 years that I've been in Congress, quite shocking. This is not something that is.
What do you mean the sidelining, when they were given millions and millions and millions of dollars of aid by your party? Is she unaware of this? I mean, I get that up until this point into which she was in her elected office, that the breadth of her knowledge was slinging drinks, which, you know, no offense to bartenders, but I just think if you're going to weigh in as an authority figure on history of this area, then perhaps maybe you should understand a little bit about how many of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars went to go and support Hamas. You know how much money was given to them? Not just by the United States. You know how much money was given to Gaza and West Bank? where a pretend ethnicity called Palestinian exists? Do you know how much money was sent? You're talking of hundreds and millions of dollars has been sent in aid, not just cash money. And we've talked about this before for the last 2 weeks on the show, when it was discovered that Hamas was spending all the money on itself and buying weapons of war. Isn't that the phrase they like? They were digging tunnels, all this. When they sent actual physical pipes over for them to replace their sewage, to update their sewage, to improve their water infrastructure, they literally had raw sewage dumping out into the Mediterranean. Amnesty International did a report on it. The beach was considered unsafe going halfway up into Israel. I mean, that's how bad it was. And instead of using all of the money and then later the actual pipes that were sent to them to improve their sewage infrastructure, they used the pipes they were sent and made them into literal bombs. And, you know, the UN, because the left loves lying prostrate in front of the United Nations, actually also confirmed this with a separate report several years ago. And they called them pipes with wings. They were wondering, why in the hell are these pipes being, where do these pipes come from? Oh, and then after they used all of those for bombs, they started digging up water pipes in everyone's yards. You know, the people that still had like basic 21st century amenities in Gaza Strip, Hamas started then digging up all of their pipes and fashioning those into bombs. So I don't want to hear a single terrorist apologist bitch and moan about, well, why aren't we doing, we're sidelining. No one's been sidelined. They've been catered to the point where we've turned them into colonizers. We've allowed them to and encouraged Hamas and have supported Hamas, et cetera, for so long, because the left believes that if you shower someone with money, and this gives you great insight into how the Bidens have been able to operate and Menendez has been able to operate for as long as they have with zero accountability, the left very virulently believes that if you shower something with money, you'll make it, you'll improve it, right? That you'll make it better. So if you give terrorists a ton of money, they'll stop being terrorists. That's their belief system. So that's been their whole thought process all the way up until now in current time. So for AOC to sit here and complain that people have been sidelined, no, no, no. They've been prioritized. They've been prioritized ahead of our own veterans. They've been prioritized ahead of our own elderly. They've been prioritized ahead of our own American citizens. We have given more money to Gazans and people in West Bank than we have done to take care of our own veterans returning from combat. So spare me this lie, you terrorist apologist. This is just asinine. There's no gray area. I want to be very clear on where I stand on that. You either are a terrorist apologist or you are not. That is it. There is no gray area. And then you have this, just to Trey Yinks, he couldn't even talk about the stuff that they were finding. They couldn't even talk about this raw video. So if you are unaware, the IDF, they, because these terrorists, to glorify themselves, they had body cameras on their person. So when they were going in and murdering people and setting them on fire, they were recording all of it. They were sharing it all on Telegram, sharing all the videos. When they weren't live streaming the murders on their victims' own personal Facebook and Instagram pages, etc., but they were sharing all of this. So the IDF actually previewed, they premiered this, or premiered, not introduced the footage, showed what footage they had when they captured terrorists, or when they came across dead terrorists. They took the camera footage that they were wearing and they showed it to the media. And this is Trey Yinks, Audio Soundbite 9. He had to actually withhold some of these details. Listen.
And this interrogator was pushing this Hamas fighter and this militant to get more information from him. And he said, "We became animals. Things that humans do not do." And when the interrogator asked him, "What type of things did you do to these civilians after you killed them?" he described them. And we can't describe them to you because they are too graphic to explain on television. But it gives you a sense of what exactly took place. More than 1,400 Israelis slaughtered at the hands of Hamas militants who entered southern Israel on October 7th, starting this conflict that's erupted.
One of the videos I accidentally saw because it autoplayed on Twitter, and this was like the day that it happened, and that's when they shot the dog. And that was horrible. This dog was so excited. You know, dogs, they were running towards, I mean, and this is just a dog. I'm not talking about the babies and the toddlers and the elderly, you know, the people. But there was a dog that was like, oh, it's a friend, and just eagerly ran towards this terrorist. And this terrorist pointed their rifle right at this dog's head. Pop, pop, pop. And the dog kind of stumbled and was very confused and was like, why am I hurting? And kept, you know, didn't know what to do, just looked at the person ahead of it, this terrorist, and kind of kept going towards him. And the guy, pop, pop, killed him. And that was just, like I said, that was just the dog. That was one of the family's pets. That was one of the family's pets. There's footage that was described, and I will not watch it. These terrorists that busted up into, this was one, I can't remember what kibbutz this was, but this was one of the many that they had overrun, busted up into this one home there. And the mother had already been killed. I think she had been outside and she had already been killed. And the dad had two of the boys and was trying to get them into the safe room. And they threw a grenade and blew the dad up in front of the children. And it's all on video. This was one of the videos that they previewed for the media. And the kids had their dad's guts and blood all over them. Their ears were ringing. They couldn't even hear. They were stunned. I mean, shell-shocked. And they had just watched their dad literally be blown up like a horror film in front of them. They had pieces of his brains and everything. Oh, I'm absolutely describing it. Because, you know, did they really cut off babies' heads? Brigade out there. We had people on the left and some absolute anti-Semites on the right who didn't believe that it was Hamas that blew up the hospital parking lot. So by God, I am going to describe this. I had people in my family, grandfathers, that fought against this sort of monsterism in World War II. So I'm going to describe it because I don't want to have my kids go and fight the same thing that my grandparents fought. So they had bits of their dad's brains all over them, his guts, their blood. And they were shocked, and it showed these terrorists grabbing these little boys. And the one little boy was described as being absolutely stunned. He didn't speak. He's just irrevocably scarred. And the other little boy was telling his brother, oh, they just killed dad. They just killed dad. This isn't a prank. This is for real. And then the video cut out. That was just one. I didn't even get into where they live streamed the brutal torture and death of this elderly grandmother, and the family found out because one of her grandkids saw it on Facebook. And it showed her on the floor. She was beaten into the floor in a pool of her own blood by these terrorists. That was in a different community. Thousands of people. I mean, and this is what Hamas chose, the elected Hamas. So popular that Abbas didn't want to have another election in 2021 because the surveys show they were going to win in a landslide. I mean, sit here and tell me again that it's just a problem with Hamas. There is a terrorist mindset. I've seen videos of people here in the United States ripping down posters of kids. I've seen people by the thousands spill into the squares in London. If you're flying that flag, you're an apologist for terrorism. There's no gray area. I hope Hamas is snuffed out to the point where generations into the future, their descendants tremble in fear at the mention of what happened this month. You know, Kel-Tec has always been about public safety and self-defense, and the Kel-Tec P15 is no exception. Whether you prefer the polymer or metal version, this reliable, compact, lightweight is the perfect go-to. The P15 polymer is the lightest, slimmest, double-stack concealed carry 9mm on the market at only 14 ounces unloaded, and loaded holds 15 plus one rounds. This little beauty has tritium and fiber optic front sight and fully adjustable fiber optic rear sights. You get all of the same great modern sights, great trigger, and excellent capacity in the P15 metal with a metal frame for a true vintage look and feel, and classic wood grips for a classic comfortable feel. Both have the same game-changing Kel-Tec innovation in quality, reliability, and performance. For public safety and self-defense, make the P15 your concealed carry go-to. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Kel-Tec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KelTecWeapons.com today. KelTecWeapons.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Your mom took it upstairs. I have to call him. He took it up when I switched out the picture. I'll call him.
I don't want you to do a damn thing. I want you to have a brain. I want you to have read it. I want you to say, Congresswoman, it was such and such date. That's what I want. That's the kind of stamp that I want to have. So some stupid other mother did it, and I don't have the information. Nobody sent me the information. I need to ensure my schedule, and, you know, if Google did it, ass did it, Space did it, and nobody knows a damn thing in my office.
Ooh.
Okay? Nothing. I gave it to you. Your job was to get it on the calendar.
She is as bent as her teeth, man.
Send me the information back saying, Congresswoman, I made sure that the Ovid Duncan Tell event that you gave me for so-and-so date at 7 is on the calendar.
So this is Texas Representative Sheila Jackson Lee going off on her staff members, saying that they are blanking idiots who serve no blank purpose. Nobody gives a blank what you're doing. She called them two blank, big blank children. Oh, man. She's got a very smart vocab, I've got to say. Is anybody surprised with that? I love these people who dress like church grannies. And then they talk like the people who sell meth behind like an old 7-Eleven in the derelict part of town. You know what I'm saying? Like she looks like she just took her hat off for church when she shows up for work. But man alive, she apparently hates everybody that works with her. Whew, man. So who was it that came out with it? Was it Houston Chronicle that came out with this first, that had the audio first? Ooh, she has been in that seat since 1995. I was in high school.
Dang, really?
I was in high school when she was in that seat, when she first got in that seat. That's how long. Jiminy Christmas. Our second hour is on the way. There's a difference between E Pluribus Unum and diversity is strength, a free mantra and a Marxist mantra. We'll talk. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And I think what this terrorist attack in Israel has shown us is we're vulnerable from all the people that have come illegally because they have come from Iran, too. It's not just Mexico, yes. Central America, Russia, China, Middle East, all that stuff. But I think what we also saw when the blood wasn't even dry on the Israelis who had been massacred, you had people in America going out protesting in favor of Hamas.
Yes.
And that's like very chilling. Some of these people are not U.S. citizens. They're student visas. So as president, if you're on a student visa and you're a foreigner and you're out there celebrating terrorism, I'm canceling your visa and I'm sending you home.
Well, good. I like that. I like that a lot. That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He's saying, yeah, this is if you're out here doing, because we've seen a number of people, I mean, especially people who are not even citizens of the country that are apologizing for Hamas, standing for Hamas. I have a major problem with that. Try that in Mexico. Try it in Ireland. Hell, try it anywhere else. Try it in Italy. See how far you get. Why is the United States supposed to be different for people who are non-citizens? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast, stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Oh, I'm absolutely a free speech purist. Not for people who aren't citizens. And I'm very, very hardcore about this. Now, granted, I think that you can, there's a disagree and all of that stuff is fine. When you're a terrorist apologist, if you're a citizen and you're engaging in terrorist apologism, you're a terrorist apologist. That's a little different from being a non-citizen who is a terrorist apologist. That, I only tolerate it from citizens because they're citizens. I take a very George Washington approach to this. But for people who are not citizens, if you're out there standing for Hamas, if you're out there engaging in their propaganda, yeah, nah, get out. I have zero. You don't get free speech for that. No. And especially when you look at, let me just share this with you. A friend of mine who's a libertarian was saying, we were debating this and it turned out we actually agreed. We agreed. We're like, he would say, oh, well, you have to have free speech. This isn't a free speech issue. We're all for free speech. What we're talking about are if you are a visitor in someone else's country, if you're a visitor in someone else's country and you're engaging in terrorist apologetics. No. Can you imagine? If I went to Mexico and did that, I'd be thrown in jail. If I went to Ireland, I'd be kicked out. If I went to Italy, I would be detained, arrested, and then kicked out. If I went to Turks and Caicos, I would be kicked out. If I went to Puerto Rico, I'd be kicked out. You can't do that. You can't do that anywhere else. But here in the United States, the same thing with our border. You're supposed to, apparently the United States is the only country that cannot enforce certain things, can't enforce our border, can't enforce anything against terrorist apologists, for people who are visitors in this country, non-citizens. Big difference. For some reason. I don't know if you've seen some of the latest surveys. I'm pulling this up. This was a Harvard Ipsos poll, which was wild to me. A majority of 18 to 24-year-olds in America, according to a Harvard, this is a Harvard-Harris poll, 18 to 24-year-olds. 60, I don't understand what this means. Kane, see if you can make sense of this for me. So I was reading this morning. And they ask questions like this, like, do you think that the Hamas killing of 1,200 Israeli civilians in Israel can be justified, blah, blah, blah. So you had 62% who agreed that the attacks on, that Hamas's attacks on Israel were genocidal. But 51% agree they could be justified. What? Kane, that makes no sense to me.
It's just, to me, it proves that the media propaganda is working.
What in the hell? How do you think that it is genocidal and then also think that it was just, you think that it was the genocide justified? Like, I'm trying to figure out what in the world does this mean?
That's exactly what that says.
I'm looking at this. I have this poll saved. I am shocked. A Harvard-Harris poll. There was another survey, actually, too, that I have. It was an Ipsos survey, very similar to this, to this Harvard-Harris one. And I was pulling up the other one that I have now, where the majority of, I mean, college kids are major. It's almost like they're being raised and educated to be anti-Semitic. It is really almost like, because it is. It is wild. Absolutely wild. But this poll, I'm trying to make sense of it. I think that this is, my friend was saying, I think every one of these universities should be razed to the ground. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with that. This is just crazy. Harvard Harris. And they said that 13% of the 18 to 24-year-olds So that, I mean, that's just like at a minimum. They thought that it, because you had some that thought that they were genocidal and they could be justified. And then you had some that thought they were genocidal and justified. So 18 to 24 year olds, they were the lowest number in thinking that the attacks were genocidal and justified. And 25 to 34 year olds, it was over 20% genocidal and justified. Wow. This is some Pol Pot stuff, dude. They're going to be going after everybody who wears glasses or something next. Good heavens. I mean, I have no other. Here's the issue. I was reading this article today. Now, I want to have this conversation on diversity. How often have you heard diversity is our strength? That's like this. That's a mantra from the left, is it not? It's a mantra that was created at the advent of CRT. A follower, actually a friend of mine I was watching, Jason Jones, had tweeted, diversity is our strength is one of the biggest lies ever foisted upon Western civilization. He says, the modern world is rapidly discovering that cultures do not mix, they clash. He was noting this Marxist theory that, again, at the advent of CRT, diversity is our strength. There's something to compare here. The left says diversity is our strength. Leftist-run countries like France and Britain even see a clash. I mean, you have actual like no-go zones in certain parts because, like for instance, in France or even in parts of London, because their communities are Sharia-run and that conflicts with the Western-based values of the police there, that are how the police are run. The United States is very unique in all of this. What is our motto? Traditionally, E Pluribus Unum, which translates, it's Latin for out of many, one. And the same thing can be said here, too. This is why you have the melting pot. Diversity is strength, but not in the way that Marxism says it. It's very different. Compare diversity is our strength to E Pluribus Unum. What is the difference there? When everyone comes to the United States, and this is what makes you a citizen, it makes you American. American identity is not held to skin color, not even really language. It's not held to religion. It's not held to orientation. It's not held to sex. It's not held to anything except one singular requirement. Do you want to be free? Do you believe in that animating spirit of liberty? And if you answer yes, and you become a citizen, you're an American. That's it. You're an American. You are an American as everyone else. This is why I've said many times, you can't go to France and be French, and you can't go to Italy and be Italian. You can't go to Spain and be Spanish, but you can come to the United States of America and be American because of E Pluribus Unum. This is what the left has tried to destroy since the advent of this country. E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. When Marxists say that our diversity is our strength, they mean our division is our strength. They don't mean diversity. They mean division. They want to keep everyone divided amongst whatever lines they can. Race, religion, orientation, all of it. They want to keep everyone segregated according to these political identity values. So when they're talking about diversity is our strength, they don't mean diversity. They mean division is our strength, the statists' strength. In the United States, we are all many different types. To put it plainly, the Latin E Pluribus Unum, we come from everywhere. We come from all over the United States, and we come from other countries, immigrated here, become a citizen everywhere. But we become one in our choosing of liberty. And there is where that diversity ends. There is the difference. And the United States has been so successful for so long because of that. People could come from wherever and no one was told that they had to disregard their backgrounds or their cultures. But in the past, like when our grandparents were young, people wanted to acclimate. They wanted to acclimate and they wanted to have the great American success story. They wanted to acclimate and learn the language and do everything so they could make money and they could be successes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then somewhere along the line, I don't know if this it started in the 60s with the introduction of CRT, which is communist. It literally began Frankfurt School and was introduced to America's colleges and universities in the 60s. Back in 2012, I did a whole story on it. I actually went on CNN and I was talking about Barack Obama's relationship with an academic called Derrick Bell, who's considered the father of CRT. And that's how it was introduced widely into politics, was under the Obama-Biden administration. That being said, at some point along the line, this idea that our choice of liberty is our strength was under attack. Because when communists cannot divide you, they cannot control you. When they cannot segregate you according to your ethnicity or religion or whatever, they cannot control you. And that's been the whole point. E Pluribus Unum is under attack. That's why they even tried to cancel the phrase melting pot. That was never a pejorative. That was talking about we come from all over and we unite as one by choosing liberty. But that's scary to people who don't want you to choose liberty. They want the liberty to choose for you. And they want you to give it to them. And the only way that they can be powered is if they can trick you into giving it to them. So our diversity is our strength. There are people who have not, when you see that phrase and you see violence in France and violence elsewhere between different cultures, the culture clash, people are not choosing to unite as one under freedom. They follow along with what statism calls for, to stay segregated in their own political identity communities. This is the difference between diversity as strength and E Pluribus Unum. Because E Pluribus Unum, it doesn't prioritize different backgrounds or beliefs or anything. It prioritizes liberty. Everyone has equal opportunity. Everyone has liberty. Everyone has that freedom. And we are united because of that. And that is what is under attack. So no, diversity isn't strength. Liberty is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up here, for some reason, my thing just totally walked up and froze because I love the internet. All right, so first thing here that I have up, city orders a risque risque Halloween display. It was a bunch of skeletons in fold-out chairs on someone's front yard. It's in Utah, and they were watching another skeleton on a stripper pole. So it was supposed to be a skeleton gentleman's club at Grantsville, Utah. Residents were apparently not happy. The homeowner put a skeleton pole dance on a city street sign and said the backlash was caught on camera when people kept coming over to take it down. So it's been a big fight. I mean, it's funny, but maybe not on a stripper pole. I don't know. Let everybody argue about it. I don't care. There's like bigger fish to fry. World's oldest dog, age 31, about 217 in dog years in Portugal, finally passed away, went over the Rainbow Bridge. Wow. 217 years old dog years. Stay with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. President,
are you going to delay? Are you encouraging the Israelis to delay invasion?
Talking in Israel.
Have you any word on any additional hostage releases, sir?
No, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't even know where the hell he is. Is he still at his Barbie Beach mansion?
Yeah, he's still shaking sand out of his socks.
Is he though, or is that him coming back?
No, he's still shaking sand.
Is he still at the Barbie Beach mansion? Okay, I just wanted to make, because he bought with like CCP blood money.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Listen to the radio show, first and foremost, across the country, You can listen to it on a station near you. You can stream the radio program. There's a simulcast of the radio program that you can watch on YouTube, Facebook, channel 347 DirecTV. I mean, he got that beach mansion real quick. He purchased it for $2.75 million in all cash, you know, because a guy who's never worked in the public or private sector a day in his life, it's normal, right? If you've never, think about this, if you've only ever had a government job ever, and you purchase your Barbie beach mansion in cash, almost $3 million. That's normal, right? Normal everyday Joes. They got $3 million in cash just sitting around.
Yeah.
It was weird though. I will say it was really conveniently right after Hunter shook down his Chinese business partner for a multi-million dollar deal. I don't know if you guys saw this story. I just want to touch on this real quick, and we're going to hit some of this other stuff. It's very important. I just feel like, you know, just very interesting that right after Hunter sent this described as threatening text to his Chinese business partner demanding to close this $10 million deal, right after all of this apparently happened, that's when he said, quote, "I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled." He wrote that on WhatsApp. Hunter Biden wrote that on, wait a minute, what does he mean, "we would like to understand"? I thought that Biden didn't talk to Hunter about any of his stuff. I thought that we, what does that mean? Like, I thought, Kane, I'm so confused. I was told by Joe that nothing, they never ever talked about any of this. They never talked about business. Joe was totally in the dark about everything baby Hunter was doing.
Just weather.
Yeah, I just talked to him about the weather. I'm trying to figure out how that could be true, and also this could be true. Well, we were just talking about the weather, and the storms made my dad wonder why you haven't paid us the $10 million. I don't know. He was sitting next to his dad, he said. And then right after, apparently, it was all situated. Then Joe spends. In 2017, he bought a 6-bedroom Barbie beach house. I'm saying that because it is. And for $2.7 million in cash. Sweet cash. Because he bought it with CCP blood money. He absolutely did. He purchased that house with CCP blood money. The Bidens, I mean, they have champagne tastes on a beer budget, if ever I saw it. Champagne tastes on a beer budget. They don't care how, they want the finer things in life. They long for the finer things in life. They long for luxury. They want the nice hotels and the big houses and the fancy cars. Just, they don't actually want to work to get it. So they don't care how they get it, just so long as it's not through actual, hard, honest work. They're old money cosplayers. That's who they are. They contribute nothing. They didn't even raise up respectable enough offspring to cement a family legacy. I mean, they have promiscuous druggies who leverage Daddy Joe's connections so that they can keep up appearances. They fake it till they make it. I mean, they're an absolutely embarrassing first family. It is embarrassing. This is the house that he purchased, his Barbie beach mansion. Juan's showing it to you on the simulcast. That's bought with CCP blood money. I'm curious how many Uyghurs had to die in order for Biden to be able to afford his Barbie beach mansion. How much of our national security in terms of energy independence did he have to sell off in order to support, to buy that mansion, his Barbie beach house? I mean, think about it. That's what they are. They sit here and go, oh, well, the Biden name and the Biden way. They act like they're the damn Kennedys. But, I mean, at least Joe Kennedy, for all his faults, I mean, he had a job outside of government. But the Bidens, they only ever worked in government. What the hell has Joe Biden done in private sector? Nothing. Nothing. How are you in a government job making millions like this? Unless, really just wild. But that's what they do. They cosplay as old money and they act like, oh, we're a family dynasty. You ain't no dynasty. You're an embarrassment. So I guess he's still at his beach house. Americans held hostage. He doesn't know the status of 10 missing Americans. In the meantime, the Terrys, to quote Key and Peele, terrorist documents were found on the fighters. It revealed all their capabilities, all this stuff. They had a manual that they found on the body of a Hamas fighter, and it listed instructions on how to operate their weapons, vulnerabilities in Israeli military equipment, tips on killing with a knife. And it said that the Al-Qassam brigades, including anti-armor, they called those their shock troops. They played it for a long time. In the meantime, Biden's been urging Israel to delay a ground invasion to allow more time, he says, for Hamas hostages to be released. He wants more than 200 hostages held because you think Hamas is going to release them. If they're alive, you're assuming that they're alive. Here's the Israel is. And there, I read a piece. They're getting a little frustrated with us. They're getting frustrated with Biden on this. As he's in his Barbie beach house purchased with CCP blood money, they're getting frustrated. They're starting to get a little, which I get it. They're getting, I don't know what legitimate interest, unless they're trying to shore up U.S. defenses. I mean, that's one thing. If they're trying to make it to where they have the peace through strength and they have more U.S. assets in place to deter, not to involve, but as a show of force, like, don't mess around or we will obliterate you. That's one thing. But it just doesn't, it seems weird because they do that, but then they don't tell you to whom that's supposed to send a message. Have you noticed that? It's supposed to send a message to Iran, but they can't bring themselves to say that. They can't bring themselves to acknowledge Iran. There's also the situation with the political and military leaders to kind of, you know, maybe keep an eye on some of the, there's might be differences in approach. Maybe. But they said that you can't go in, which I get it. There was a source that said you can't go in on a moment's notice. They said that, but it's they're not apparently at the point where they're totally ready militarily, but it's the political side that's like hemming and hawing. Apparently they're still getting ready, but it's just, I don't know what the point of waiting would be unless it is, you know, like I said, getting those U.S. forces ready. And maybe that's what the IDF, maybe that's what Israeli military is waiting to do, is make sure that, you know, just for the show of strength. The Netanyahu has been described previously as risk averse. And that even though, I mean, they've been playing all of his stuff. All of his videos and his remarks, which I think of, you know, I mean, you need to be fine. People should be upset. My gosh, it's a horrible attack on the country. But he's always been, he's been very risk averse, I think, is how it's been described, getting into it. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to, any updates, but that show of force, if only the United States could say, yes, Iran, just, we'll stick a boot up your ass if you decide to get froggy. Just don't. Besides, just don't. Like, actually make them be afraid. The raw footage, we talked a little bit about that earlier, is just horrific. I don't want to describe even more of it, but what's out there is awful. And while all this is happening, it's been 20 days and we don't have his House Speaker. Kane?
Yeah. Yeah.
You seem displeased.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be seeming that way all week, probably.
So Jordan's was forced out. Lorraine has a really good write-up over at Chapter and Verse, over at Substack, the newsletter. She has this. It came out yesterday for you subscribers. You got that. The House race. He ended up losing more votes in round three. And so he wasn't able to get close to, he wasn't able to get it. But I'm telling you what, Jeffries is real close. Just got to say. So you had four congressmen two Republicans and two Democrats who were not in the chamber to vote. Two of them, though, would not have gotten him up there. They had a number of people still for McCarthy. They had a number of people still for Scalise, including Granger, Gonzalez, Womack. For McHenry, there were a handful. Lawler was one. For Zeldin, for Garcia. Ken Buck was for Emmer. Donalds and Massey each got votes. Westerman. I don't know. We're 20 days out. This is so stupid. We're still having this fight. That almost seemed like a haiku, but I don't think it was. And the divide just further deepens. Here's another interesting. So another Harvard-Harris poll. The fun thing about this poll is that it shows that apparently Republican voters are not happy. And these are the hardcore Republican voters. So I always kind of think that conservatives and then hardcore Republicans are still different. I always think hardcore Republicans are still more big government than a traditional conservative. But they think that the stunt to vacate the speakership it's very unpopular with Republican voters, majority of Republican voters. I haven't broken out the crosstabs on this yet, but that's what I'm seeing. Like, I don't know where everybody lies, but in terms of conservatism or moderation. And it's not that they didn't, and you have to focus in on this nuance because it's everything. The issue isn't whether or not people wanted McCarthy replaced. The issue is what is the best way to do it. And what this survey measures is that the majority of voters do not think this was the best way to do it because there was no one, we're 20 days out and they still can't come together. And you can't say, well, at least they're not spending, because they still are. The whole purpose was to stop the current rate of spending, which is ongoing right now. We could have stopped it. And we could have really maximized our leverage in the House, the one thing that we do control in D.C., as a way to help direct future policy. And we can't do that out now either. So it's another week, another battle. I just want the sweet meteor of death to come and knock this rock out. McCarthy's endorsed Tom Emmer for speaker. Emmer, I think, and McCarthy are, I think Emmer's a little more, he's a little more conservative than McCarthy. Newt Gingrich had suggested a female speaker, and he floated Beth Van Dyne's name. Now, she's our rep out here in Texas. And he was blasting, you know, he was saying that they got to pick somebody, etc. He goes, Elise Stefanik or Beth Van Dyne? I am actually against Elise Stefanik because she's more moderate than McCarthy is. If you ended up not having Kevin McCarthy and you trade him out for Elise Stefanik, then you completely betray all of the arguments that have been made to oust McCarthy in the first place, because Elise Stefanik is one of the more, if not most, liberal members in the House. Look at her record. So I cannot take seriously anybody who wanted McCarthy out because he broke promises and was making deals, and then vote in someone who made more deals and would break more promises, someone who's far more to the left than McCarthy. So that does not wash out to me. And that makes it seem like it's petty and that we did this 20 days not having a speaker for someone's ego. And that makes me even more enraged. Beth Van Dyne is very interesting because she's already been scrutinized by the media. We're going to talk about this coming up in the third hour. She was the one who went against Clock Boy. Man, they tried to get her out for that. We'll talk a little bit more about this. We got to get rolling because we got Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, guys, I got a story here that comes from, I think this is a Villages. The Villages. A Florida man is accused of illegally entering a home, making a huge mess, and taking some juicy juice out of a woman's fridge. No, that's the juicy. It's literally called juicy juice. I'm not making this up. It's not like, you know. Sunday afternoon, police were called. They said they were, hang on, this guy's name. Christopher Gianfrancesco. He was running, trying to get inside another home, according to the arrest report. He entered the victim's home through an unlocked sliding glass door. He went through the drawers, but I want to get to the juicy juice. Police said that Gianfrancesco also took two containers of juicy juice, two of them, tropical and apple flavored. I love that they were very concise. Thank you, Florida police, for giving me the information that I actually did want. I'm not even joking. I'm not being sarcastic. I am very grateful for that because I'm like, if you're going to steal, like, make it a good one. The tropical one, yay, apple. So they, and don't steal. So they said that he took both of those, her juicy juices, and drank them. He drank her juicy juice. So he was clearly did not have permission to be in the home. He was booked on $10,000 bond today. You know, I love like that's I just like what you couldn't go anywhere else and get that. I don't know. A Florida man described high as redacted, headbutted a car window and flopped out of the car during a high speed chase and tried to climb a tree. He sounds smart. Yeah, as if the forehead tat didn't give it away. The lengthy high-speed chase ended with a Florida man crashing through a fence before he broke one of his car windows, dove on the ground. It was all caught on a dash camera. Marion County deputies, God love them. Tyler Faye Consolo. He ran a red light, wasn't able to maintain the lane, flops out of the car. I mean, oh my gosh. They had to deflate his tires and everything. But he did try to hop over a fence and climb a tree, but they were able to detain him without violence. So, yeah, that these who do you think he was going to hide from them in the tree? I don't understand this. Like, they're following you. Like, they see you up there. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Kane and I are going to argue over video games because I just don't know why he doesn't like good gameplay.
Oh, come on. Hamas runs the streets there. So they're going to be doing it. A lot of that money is going to help Hamas. So the question is that what you want to be doing when you have people that are being held hostage, Americans and a lot of Israelis are being held hostage? Hamas can release all these hostages now. If they released all the hostages and did an unconditional surrender to Israel, then you could have all the aid you want. But as long as Hamas is going to control that money, that is not something that's in the best interest in the United States.
I think that's a great point. That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. That I'm glad that somebody's saying it. I'm glad that, you know, the House is fighting over who's going to be speaker. So, hell, we need some kind of Republican out there saying something. Jiminy Christmas. It's insane. Where's the damn leadership in this party? Thankfully, he's saying it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. And we got a lot still to go. We got KJP. Oh, Kane's. Are you on the alert, Kane? KJP's up there talking. Your favorite girl's up there. She's giving some quotes for you. You can listen to the radio program coast to coast. You can stream it. Channel 347 for the simulcast, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. Just saying. I'm very curious to see at some point when, because we got to have people pop their heads up out of this house fight and address what's happening over there. And I just can't imagine that this, it's just wild to me that this administration is pushing. As I said last week, you should have had the House out there, House leadership. Say, no, Mr. President, we're not giving money to this group. No, Mr. President, we're not giving money to Gaza. We're not giving money to West Bank. We're not doing that, especially with the history. Especially with the history. And Hamas's stated intent. I mean, for crying out loud, it's literally in their charter. I was reading this piece. It's over at, let me pull this up, because I saw it tweeted out, and I was reading this on break. It's a very interesting Naval History and Heritage Command. And it gets into, in August of 1982, the U.S., France, Italy, and Great Britain deployed a multinational peacekeeping force to Lebanon to try to stabilize the country and stop fighting between Syria and the PLO and Israel. PLO is basically the authority now. And they said that the Marines were sent in to keep the warring factions from just obliterating each other. And what they found, you had the beginnings of Hezbollah, you had Lebanese Christians, you had different Muslim militias, or militants, not militias, different Muslim militants, the Israelis, and this is when Reagan was in White House, and they were trying not to make it look like the Marines were going in as like these aggressive warriors, and they were just there to kind of keep the peace as much as could be kept. But then they started being attacked. and they weren't able to return fire, and they, because they had rules of engagement that made it impossible for them to essentially to defend themselves from all of these attacks that they were receiving. And I mean, it which is insane to me. You hamstrung our warfighters. But that's what it was. And they had a terrorist truck bomb at the Marine barracks. And this, there was this piece, the reason I saw this out is my friend Jack Carr had written a piece on this. And he's recounting the terror act against the U.S. military at the time. And how this, I mean, it's what, 40 years later? And the Marines were told they were not allowed to have any ammunition at all. This is one of the things that Jack discusses. And Jack, if you're not, Jack Carr's been on the show before. He's behind the Terminal List. And he has, you know, that whole series of books, the Amazon's the series as well. He, that, like, for instance, the Marines posted at the Sentry, at Sentry Post, they were not allowed to have any ammunition. In fact, one of the reports said that they were not allowed to have their mags locked in. So when the truck bomb went off and all hell broke loose, they were fumbling. And while they were fumbling, I mean, you know, they're being attacked. This is crazy. We were hamstrung. We were hamstrung by ROE. We were hamstrung. I mean, it was just wild. And at the time that truck bomb went off, and I was reading some of the specifics about it, apparently it was considered, at the time, the largest non-nuclear explosion ever, equal to about 20,000 pounds of TNT. It lifted an entire four-story concrete building off, like literally up into the air. And you had 220 Marines, 18 sailors, and 3 soldiers and murdered. We had not lost as many Marines since Iwo Jima. Wild. So people like Jack and others are like, we have seen this time and time and time again. That's that. I was thinking about that, you know, on break, in context with the story of the administration doxing the spec ops team that's over there door kicking, trying to get hostages out. I'm not as aggravated at the administration. And now hear me out, because there's a point to this. It's not just there's a point. I'm not as angry at the administration as saying they don't know how many hostages are over there as I am them sending more money to Gaza, to Hamas, because I don't think that they can or want to state how many are over there. I would hope to think, and this might be me being optimistic, which is a rare for me, that is not a quality I possess. Maybe it's to try to maximize the time that they have their door kickers over there to go and get our hostages out. And maybe they are trying to telegraph to Hamas that, well, we're not close enough to know how many of our people over. Although that's why I think that Biden meeting, you know, our special operatives over there kind of gave that away. Oh, just all. But I'm glad, you know, to touch on the thing that, you know, we started the show with. I'm glad that DeSantis is out there saying what needs to be said. Because hell knows we're not hearing it from the House. The one thing that we actually control, we're not hearing it. We're not hearing anything from Republicans. It's like we have no Republican leadership at all whatsoever. So I'm glad he's stating the obvious. I'm glad he's out there saying this stuff. And I'm glad that he's holding the line on it. You know, he was catching flack for what he was talking about. People who, you know, a lot of these citizens here on student visas that are, you know, I don't want to say writing, but protesting for, you know, terrorists in favor of them. By the way, KJP, I just grabbed this. Play this for me. KJP was just asked about this thing I was getting ready to dive into with the universities, because she was asked, can you state or can you respond or say anything to what we're seeing at all of these universities across the country, where you have people, and in some cases it gets, you know, they get a little violent at these universities protesting for Hamas And here was her answer. She was asked this. Listen.
Does the president view anti-Israel protests and sentiment on college campuses as anti-Semitism?
So, look, I'm not going to get into what's happening across the country and at different universities. I'm not going to get into the specifics. As the admiral said, the First Amendment right? That's what something, a peaceful protest is really part of our democracy, being able for folks to be able to express their feelings. I'm not going to get into any specifics on that. The president has been very clear in wanting to make sure that Jewish Americans, wanting to make sure that Arab Americans, Muslims are protected here. That is what he believes in, that they have the right to live their lives and to feel protection and to feel like they're able to be part of a community. The president has been very, very clear on denouncing any type of violence. And so as it relates to peaceful protesting, people have the right to do that. But we're just not going to get into blow by blows of what's going on across the country. The president has been very clear.
But the president himself.
This is the same damn party that wastes no time in referring to law-abiding gun owners as domestic terrorists. Oh, before you say, oh, that's never happened. I literally have been called a domestic terrorist because I support the Second Amendment by actual sitting elected Democrats. Plural. So, yeah, the same party that wastes no time. Oh, we just don't want to talk about. We don't want to talk about this. The same party that sends out the FBI to watch parents who speak out against tyranny at school board meetings. Oh, we just don't want to. We're just not going to. I'm not going to get into that with the colleges and universities. No. It's in these times, I got to say. So one of the things that I enjoy doing greatly, and I'm a casual player, is I like video games. And I've been into, they just released, some of you are like, wait, what? Or where are you going? Just bear with, shush, shush. So, because I don't like watching a lot of television, because most television is garbage. And I cannot stand, like I tried watching, Follow the House of Usher, the new Netflix. Oh, it's garbage. I didn't even get 20 minutes into it. It's just absolute POS. And it's not even actually true to actually the Fall of the House of Usher. They try to basically take the skeleton of that story and then cram all the other post stuff into it. It's garbage. Anyway, moving on. So one of the things that I like is I'll play video games, and they released, and I'm not a PC gamer because I grew up playing Doom and a lot of other titles on PC. And so I did my time there grinding. So now I like console. So I have Xbox. And they released the Warhammer Darktide. And I've been waiting for this because I played Vermintide. And I'm very excited. I was very excited for Warhammer Darktide. And I've been trying to tell Kane about all of the virtues of playing Warhammer Darktide. First off, it's super goth. If you're unfamiliar with the universe, super goth. Graphics are great. Gameplay is great. The classes are just, like, you know, phenomenal. And for those of you who don't know, the classes, like, you can be different. You can pick a different type of character. And it's all designed to be, like, co-op. So that's one of the things that we do in our families. We will all literally couch co-op. But if you have like your squad together, you can like hold it down. And I'm trying to get Kane, because I need a reliable zealot. I'm trying to get Kane. I'm a psyker class, which I don't know why people complained about it, because it's an epic class. I just need people to know how the hell to play it. And, you know, my oldest son's an Ogryn. Chris will play as like he's kind of like a coverage support character, the veteran class, like similar to Psyker. I need a reliable zealot. I got so many people that we get that match up with that don't know how to play their character. No, I'm not telling you my handle. Trying to get Kane to play this damn game so he can squat up, and he's like, and I'm going to make fun of him, and this is going to make start a fight. But he wants to play Rocket League, which is cards that play soccer. That's ahead, true. Come at me.
But the cars also fly, and you can
it's
blow
cars
up,
that play soccer.
Blow up other cars.
I've never even Googled this. Let me look at that.
Fun game. What, Rocket League?
Uh huh. No, because I just immediately didn't
like
the
crapping
name of
all over Rocket League. You don't even know what it is.
Exactly. You told me what it was, and I immediately didn't like it.
Gosh.
Oh, I like it less now. Yeah, I mean,
haven't played. But my thing was, I haven't played.
Are you kidding me? This is like glorified Mario Kart, dude.
Glorified Mario Kart.
I'm sorry. You've got to play Warhammer.
What's wrong with Mario Kart?
Nothing, but okay. Not. It's not this. This is
if it's
not
glorified. It's, Mario
I, it's
Kart.
A giant. Are you serious? A giant soccer good. Ball with a car?
Yes, with several cars. What do you mean?
I think Kane tries to play the least stressful things out there to chill himself.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
I'm kind of zen-like when I'd leave here.
You could be zen-like as a zealot class too in Darktide.
Can I though?
You could totally.
But my thing was, I haven't played a first person shooter game in forever, and I would just be berated by you like you do daily here because I don't play.
No, I don't do daily, just whenever it comes up.
Yeah, which is daily. And so I would probably be just bullied out of the squad.
No. You'd probably, you know what? Because you're so chill, you'd probably, and you'd be like level, and you'd be consistent. So you'd power up pretty quick. You'd like level up pretty quick. And then you could be a reliable zealot class, because I need that very badly in my squad.
I mean, that's a more compelling argument you just made there.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, you could totally do that. I need that zealot class. I'm going to brainwash you if I have to. I need that for my squad. It's all about the health of the squad, man. I need a reliable zealot, dude.
All right. Let me see what I can do. I'll adjust a few things.
Oh, what? Because, Steve, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk DJ Fun Uncle into doing this. And I think Juan thinks we're crazy. So I don't know. I feel like he might be too far beyond being prevailed upon to do it. Like,
What's the last first-person shooter game that Steve's played?
Steve, yeah, what is that?
I couldn't even tell you. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. All right. That's all right. Well, we'll talk more. I'm just saying. So you're telling me that
there's a chance?
There's not a chance until you're committed.
I'm telling you, there's a chance.
All right, we got to move. Steve's like, will you shut up talking about video games and like move, because we got to get going. Okay, Steve. Okay.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So 50 Cent blasted Joe Biden over the weekend because Biden's at his Barbie beach house relaxing while the world burns. In fact, 50 posted a photo on his Instagram of the president and the first lady relaxing at their Barbie beach mansion over the weekend, saying, quote, hey, Joe, get the blank up. We in trouble, man, the rapper wrote. And he's just there snoozing right on the beach, posted the picture. I mean, it looks so bad. Like, come on, dude. Pasadena is reporting extremely cases of a locally transmitted virus, the dengue virus. Dengue virus? It's like a mosquito-borne virus. First case in California to occur in a person who has not recently traveled. They're watching that. Death Valley's been gleaming with water, wildfires in color, and 50% inflation. Your dollar only goes as half as far as it did at the end of 2020, according to...
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
He not going nowhere now.
Oh my gosh.
Hold up.
So Minneapolis.
Hold up. He not going nowhere now.
Protesters blocked a highway, and then a very confused old dude who was not part of any kind of anti-Gaza or anti-Hamas protest. He was just driving. He drove into it. There's drone footage of this. So the pro-Hamas protesters on the ground, they tried lying to the media like Hamas did and tried to say, oh no, this guy just drove through. You can see there's like drone footage that's like minutes, like, you know, several minutes long. And you can see, because there's other cars and there's traffic, the guy, as he's approaching, he sees people in the road and there are cars behind him and he's like very hesitant. He doesn't want to pull up. He has no idea what's really happening. And he can't back up and turn around because there's other cars there. And he does not want to pull up to the intersection. Turns out he was this old man who was confused and had no idea what was going on. And all of a sudden sees people in the roadway. And he is trying to get through, and the pro-Hamas violent rioters, they attack him. They attack his car. They attack him. And they act like they're all hard asses. Like, oh, we see you. We see you. You guys are a bunch of pansies beating up old men and blocking down highways. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, bottom of this third hour. And amongst them, one of the people who was there involved in all of it is Minneapolis City Council candidate Zach Metzger. Zach Metzger was a part of it. And he looks bad. It looks bad. I mean, and they're like, oh, it's a rally. It was a pro-Hamas riot, a violent riot. And they had cops called on them repeatedly because of reports of like assaults and apparently other disturbances. I mean, when you're trying to damage someone else's private property, And like the guy was trying, he had to end up having to drive over a crosswalk. There were no injuries. No one was trying to, and they were apparently firing off guns and all kinds of stuff as they were out in the street rioting for Hamas. That's insane. First off, don't block highways. I think if you're trying to block a roadway as a protester, you're volunteering to become a speed bump. If you don't want to volunteer to become a speed bump, then get your ass out of the road. If your parents didn't teach you that, fate will. And this guy, and he was just so confused. There's all this video because they think that, I don't know. They were taking video of them attacking him. Huh. Where did we just have a story about that? Like here earlier in the program. But they had this guy who's there, he wants to be on Minneapolis City Council. He was there. Zach Metzger, terrorizing this old man. What does that do? What does that have to do? Tell me where in your freedom and in your freedom for this ethnicity that pro-Hamas people try to conjure up into existence. How does that benefit? What about raping children and burning them and burning women alive and killing people? Where is your fight for freedom in that? Where's your fight for freedom in this roadway, blocking the highway and terrorizing an old man? Where's the fight for freedom? They've made the video of their interrogation of the captured Hamas terrorists. They've made that available to the press. And apparently, according to what the reporters have seen, some of the women and young and some of the kids, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is so weird. This is so gross and horrible. They apparently, the sexual assaults on some of the kids were so bad, there were broken bones. Where's your God in that? Hamas. Where's your all-powerful God in that? Just disgusting. And there are people out in the streets defending it. That's what you're defending. When they defend Hamas, that's what they're defending. When you're defending Gazan government, that's what you're defending, because that's Gaza's that's their elected government. Their elected government. Unreal. That enjoyed such high approval ratings, by the way. The Fatah chair, Abbas, suspended the 2021 elections because surveys showed that Hamas was going to win in a landslide. Where's your God in that, Hamas? I mean, I just have to question the omnipotency of a religion's God where they think that they can rape their way to freedom. Abuse kids their way to freedom. Just wild. KJP was asked, because the audio that's coming out of this, she was asked about the rise of anti-Semitism. I've dropped it in Slack. I want you guys to listen to this because Joe Biden also tweeted out, quote, "As Americans, we must come together and reject Islamophobia and all forms of bigotry and hatred." What? It is literally the Norm Macdonald meme. His tweet from December 15, 2016, quote, "What terrifies me is if ISIS were to detonate a nuclear device and kill 50 million Americans, imagine the backlash against peaceful Muslims." Listen to KJP here. This is minutes ago.
"Level of concern right now about the potential rise of anti-Semitism in light of everything that's going on in Israel."
So a couple of things. We have not seen any credible threats. I know there's been always questions about credible threats. And so just want to make sure that that's out there. But look, Muslim and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. And certainly President Biden understands that many of our Muslim Arab Americans and Palestinian Americans and neighbors are worried about
the Jewish people, because that's kind of what I'm hearing from her right now. That's what I'm hearing. Didn't I just hear that from her?
Yeah.
It sounded like she just told Jewish people to go pound sand. You heard that too, right, Kane?
Well, she said Muslims and those perceived to be Muslim
have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks.
Yeah, like when people paraglided into their peace concert and murdered a whole bunch of them and raped their kids to death to the point where there were broken bones, beheaded babies, killed grandmothers. Right. Oh, wait, no, that was what Hamas did to Israelis, and the pro-Hamas protesters out there are defending it. Well, maybe it's like when, they've had a bunch of kids. You know, maybe it's when there's like a ton of Muslim kids that are gone missing and they, you know, people, these Israelis have gone around cities ripping down posters of where they're, oh, wait, no, reverse that. The truth is that it was Israeli citizens that were kidnapped, and it's pro-Hamas, pro-Gazan government rioters that go out and rip posters of the missing Israelis down. I'm like trying to think here. Maybe it was, maybe it was the, you had the mosque leader that was found stabbed to death in Detroit. Oh, wait, no, that was the leader of a synagogue in Detroit found stabbed to death outside of their home. Okay. Well, maybe it was the pro-Arabic ran news entity Free Press that saw all of the anti-Muslim slurs spray painted outside their brick and mortar facility. Oh, wait, nope. Again, that was the Free Press that's run by Barry Weiss, who's Jewish. Yeah. Oh, and it said blank the Jews, literally in spray paint. What is she talking about?
And what makes it worse is this was her answer after being asked.
Oh, you mean, wait, I'm sorry. You mean there's more?
Yeah, no, this is her answer.
Oh, my gosh.
This was her answer after she was asked about the rise of anti-Semitism. She was asked about anti-Semitism and answers that Muslims and those who are perceived to be Muslim are getting the disproportionate amount of hate-fueled attacks. That is ridiculousness.
Some people's children, you know. I mean, some people's children. See, this is why, like, I either have to, at the end of the day, to wind down. Either have to, like, crochet something very complicated, play Warhammer, or watch a horror film. To wind down. Because that's how stupid it all is. Because some people's kids is why. Wow. This is just, it's amazing. You have him tweeting that, and why does this, it's like every single time this happens, every single time, it's Hamas or Hezbollah or ISIS or Al-Qaeda. It's always, and if you criticize the people that you see in the streets by the thousands who are cheering for it, why is it that, it always comes out like, well, let's not have Islam. I don't think people have Islamophobia. They have terrorophobia. Unless Joe Biden's saying that all Muslims are terrorists. Is that what he's saying? Is that what KJP's? Why doesn't a member of the press go, I'm sorry, are you intimating that all Muslims are terrorists? Is that what you're saying? And then just watch her head explode as she tries to deal with that. Man, I'm telling you what, this is something else entirely. And do I want to look at the house? No, Dana. Let's not even look at the house. I mean, I've got headlines here, but I feel like I'm going to throw something at the camera if I talk about it right now. You know what? I'm just going to leave that to Lorraine, because Lorraine, I think, can look at it objectively and unemotionally. I want to throw stuff at everybody involved in it. I can't deal. I did have a couple staff members from, I'm not going to say their names, because I said, you send me one more text/email. I literally will read it on air, and I'm going to name check your boss. And I didn't get any more. And then I did have another staffer go out and say, well, I guess you don't want to be on the whatever. They were having like a call to update people, which I've never joined these things, to update people in the press about the house race or whatever. I'm like, no, you're guess right. I just... again, like I said, that's why I play Warhammer, just because I can't deal with these people. In the meantime, Biden is still canceling $48 billion in debt for student loans for the bougie leftists. even though the Supreme Court ruled against this, somehow they're still doing it. What can I ignore laws too? Because I got a whole list of laws I would like to ignore, please. Kane, you got some I'm sure you would love to ignore.
Oh, yeah.
If he gets to ignore this ruling, I've got a lot of things that I would like to offer up as things for me to ignore. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I think what you're seeing right now and among the Republicans in the House is a direct result of the decisions that Kevin McCarthy made to embrace Donald Trump, to embrace the most radical and extreme members of our party, to elevate them. So it's not a surprise that we are where
we
are, but it's a disgrace and it's an embarrassment. And there certainly are serious.
I don't think it has anything to do with Trump. I think this is Kevin McCarthy who just made a bad deal to get speakership. I mean, he literally put in there, sure, go ahead and vacate one person for whatever reason. Don't have a strategy or a substitute, which I would have been like, yeah, fine. If you want to have a motion to vacate, make sure it's just one person that has more than a grievance and also have a strategy. So we don't go into now day 20 of no speaker. We need to stop the spending as it is currently appropriated. And we also need to show some party leadership because, wow. This is the only thing we control in Congress. We could be, you know, we'd hammer some stuff out because you know what? They're going to let it go to the last minute and then find themselves in a bad compromising position and have to compromise a whole bunch instead of they could be laying the groundwork and hammering this out now. But they're not. That would have been, it had nothing to do with Trump, Liz. It has nothing to do with Trump. He has nothing to do with it. This was McCarthy who made a bad, just because Trump endorsed him, that has nothing to do with it. McCarthy made a bad deal to get speakership. Because he didn't have the support. I do think that you have some unrealistic views of some of the House members because you can't have somebody like Thomas Massie. I would love to have Thomas Massie as a speaker. It is not going to happen. Not because I don't want it to. If I could will it into existence, I would, such as my strength of endorsement for that move. But you also have to work with Democrats and you've got to get Democrats to vote with you. Do you honestly think that you're going to get a seat? No. Now they also see how they can screw Republicans. You're going to have moderate Democrats who aren't going to vote for Massie. So you've got to have someone who can appeal. That's politics, right? That's what happens when you don't have a huge majority in the House and you don't have a huge conservative number in the House also. It's unfortunate. I don't like it any more than you do. So I'm just saying. Oh, so crazy. All right. We have, make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that comes out for subscribers on that regularly. And you also get my show prep and all that other stuff. So this, all, like I said, all good things. In the meantime, today in stupidity before I run out of time.
Yeah, it's AOC, one of the squad who wants us all to take it easy on the terrorists. This is what she was saying after being asked this question. Listen.
Terrorism.
Congresswoman, you would accept yes, that a ceasefire, though, would leave Hamas in place. You would accept that's a cost of saving civilian lives in Gaza.
I think in the immediate sense, we have to have a pause.
Ooh, what a take. Leave Hamas alone is her big take. I call that stupid.
You know what? They'll get left alone when they leave everybody else alone. And they're all dead. And also that. That does it for us today, folks. Make sure you go sign up over at Substack. Find us, Chapter and Verse. YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.